And now let's study the scriptures together. And please join in with your comments, likes and comments. We are reading Parsha Yitro, Exodus chapter 18 through chapter 20. I called my message today, God who is not silent. It is a very important topic to us, for us today, the Lord who is not silent. I believe it is very important for us today when there are so many different voices around. So let's go to the Torah chapter and let's read from Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus 20, verse 1. We will read only one verse for now. And God spoke all these words, saying. So the first and very important truth is that the Lord can speak. It is very important to remember. Because even this very idea in modern Judaism seems foreign. Many Torah teachers indicate that the Lord spoke in ancient times through the prophets. And today he speaks only through Talmudic literature or through the tzaddiks, the righteous rabbis, special people. I think probably one of the most dangerous and widespread theories in Judaism and Christianity today is that God is far away in heaven, far, far away. And we are here on earth, and therefore he is busy with other global problems, and we cannot have communication with him. Thus the Lord becomes a distant and cold universal being. But the entire Tanakh, Holy Scriptures, the Bible, tells us about the most important thing, about the living relationships between God and people. This is the most important part. God's fellowship with man is a central theme of the Bible. It is very important to remember. We know why Adam was created and what privilege he had. I would like to read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. One verse here. Genesis 3, 8. They heard the voice of Adonai, Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of Adonai, God, walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. Adam was created to communicate with God Almighty. I want to mention one interesting detail from the book of Genesis, from this verse 8, Genesis 3, 8. The Lord walking in the garden. The Lord walking in the garden. Many people read this place of scripture as an allegory. Many people read this as an allegory. Because we know that the Father, the Lord, is the Spirit. And nobody can see him and remain alive. But we can see in these, in many other passages from the scriptures, that the Lord came to people in a physical body, communicated with them, and walked among them. We as messianic believers know it was Yeshua the Messiah. I would like to read John chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, and also verse 14. As an interesting explanation for all of us. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and apart from him nothing was made that has come into being. And the verse 14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and the only from the Father, full of grace and truth. What a beautiful place of scripture. Also, we know that Yeshua died for us, was resurrected, and today he is alive. Unfortunately, many people live as if Yeshua has just died. But fortunately, he is alive forever and ever. And he not only can, but he also wants to speak with each of us today, wants to lead us, to direct our lives. So let's read Exodus chapter 20, the same verse, verse 1, with faith. That this verse not just an allegory or a beautiful story, but it is the truth and word from the Lord to us today. Exodus 21. And God spoke all these words, saying. So the Lord spoke. How? By saying. He can speak to us today. So let's look at a few examples of how the Lord speaks to us today. The first one, we already read it, Exodus 21. He can speak with the voice, as in the case of Moses and many other cases in the scriptures. Also, he can speak through the scriptures, and he wants to speak through the scriptures. The Lord gave the Torah and the scriptures to us, which records his will and instructions to us today. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, and for training in righteousness. So the Lord wants to talk to us, to speak to us through the scriptures. Also, one of the ways how the Lord is speaking to us is in the Holy Spirit. When we pray, when we think about the Lord, or when we live in our life, we can feel his direction in our lives and our thoughts. He can talk to us in the Holy Spirit. It is in John, Yohanan chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Yohanan 14, verse 16 through 18. Yeshua says about it, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Through the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, Yeshua wants to talk to us, to our hearts, to our minds, in our spirit. So, and the second one, the fourth way, through the people around us. The Lord wants to speak to us through the people who are around us. And I would like to emphasize this point today. Let's look at the very beginning of today's Torah chapter. When we look at it, it's chapter 18. We see how Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him and gives him very important instructions and advice. And let's read the whole story today, almost whole chapter. It's Exodus chapter 18. And let's start with verse 5. This very interesting, instructive history for us. So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses into the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. So after Moses told him about all the miracles that the God of Israel has done for his people, Jethro makes sacrifices and praises to the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can read it in verse 11. Now I know that Adonai is greater than all gods, since they had acted arrogantly against them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, presented a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Aaron also came along with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. What a beautiful story here. So, but then the story begins. And let's read from verse 13 and almost until the end of the chapter. The next day, Moses said to judge the people, And they stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What's this you are doing to the people? Why sit by yourself alone with all the people standing around from morning until evening?" Verse 15. Moses answered his father-in-law, "It's because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have an issue, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor. So I make them understand God's statutes and his laws." Verse 17. But Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What are you doing is no good. What are you doing is no good. You will surely wear yourself out, as well as these people who are with you. Because the task is too heavy for you, you cannot do it alone by yourself. Now listen to my voice. I will give you advice, and may God be with you. You represent the people before God and bring their cases to God." And let's verse 21. "But you should seek out capable men out of all the people, men who fear God, men of truth, who hate bribery. Appoint them to be rulers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them judge the people all the time. Then let every major case be brought to you, but every minor case they can judge for themselves. Make it easier for yourself, as they bear the burden with you. If you do this thing as God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all those people will go to their places in shalom." An amazingly interesting 24th verse. It's verse 24. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So interesting story. So interesting story. Jethro becomes a witness to the ministry of Moses. He sees how Moses serves his people from morning till night, sacrificing everything for the good of Israel. For the people, and also for Moses and the people of Israel, it looked like a great dedication, zeal, a sacrificial ministry in the name of the Lord. But in fact, Jethro saw a great danger that none of Israelites, not even Moses himself, could see. Can you imagine? After all the miracles, the victory over Amalekites in the Exodus chapter 17, after all the difficulties of the path in the desert, the people of Israel were in a very difficult situation, once again on the verge of destruction. At this time, it was not the rebellion of the Jewish people or external enemies, but the unwise ministry of Moses at this time. Please think about it for a moment. At that moment, at the same moment, when Moses sacrificed everything and was completely sure that he was serving God with all his might, Moses was on the verge of fatigue, including the entire people of Israel. Let's think about this for a moment. In the same moment when he was in his ministry, in the fire of the Lord, given everything, he was in a very difficult situation, and all Israel with him. It's in Exodus chapter 18, verse 17 and 18. I would like to read it again. And let's read it again carefully in the scriptures. But Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is no good. You will surely wear yourself out, as well as these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone by yourself." Very interesting place of scripture. This word, wear yourself out. Very interesting place. Very interesting word. This verb can be translated as sink or drop down, wither, fell, fade, decay, and deteriorate. I looked this word in the Greek translation in the Septuagint, translation of 70. And this translation says even more clear. This word can be translated as destruction. You will be destroyed. So it can be read in Septuagint like that. You will be destroyed by destruction, as well as these people who are with you. In the Septuagint, several passages are translated by the same word. It's one of them, it's Isaiah chapter 24, verse 3. The land will be utterly emptied and totally plundered, for the night has spoken this word. Destruction, great destruction. Can you imagine that Moses, in the midst of his success in his ministry, never even imagined that he could be the source of destruction, withering out his people? And the reason for this is his inability to see and hear the Lord or to understand his voice. I think this is very interesting lesson for us today. So we are talking about the great Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader and the greatest prophet of our people, the great Moshe Rabbeinu. He had very close relationships with the Lord, spoke with him face to face, heard the voice of God, and was able to perform the greatest miracles. He had extraordinary wisdom. But at the same time, we must not forget that no matter how great he was an ordinary person with human limits. I don't know why the Lord did not personally show him this problem, or most likely he was not able to hear the Lord in that moment for himself. But the Lord chose a very unusual way to how to speak into the life of Moses and save all his people. He chose for this a relative, or rather Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. So let's compare Moses and Jethro for a couple minutes, please. Jethro is a priest of Midian, not even a Jew. I do not know what gods he worshipped, what kind of person he was. There are many explanations in the Jewish tradition, but I prefer for myself to build my faith on the scriptures. And the Bible does not say much about the life of Jethro. From another hand, Moses is an adopted son of Pharaoh, a highly educated in Egyptian culture. One can say that he is a man from high society. Also, Moses is a great prophet who committed and communicated with the Lord face to face, who performed many wonders and signs, a successful leader of several million people. His name thundered all over the earth. He was very famous and popular at that time. He is Moses. When we compare these two people, we can ask ourselves a question. So who should teach and listen to whom? But look what a humility Moses shows. What meekness before Jethro. Moses needed the advice and gained the ability to hear the Lord speaking through the mouth of Jethro. What an interesting story for us. So let's take a couple interesting lessons for us today, for our time, our days. The same can happen in our lives. Very often defeat and disappointment can come right at the peak of our success. When everything is fine, when we are successful, we need to be very careful. What we may regard as success and victory, a great sacrifice to God, can become a trap for us. And even if we have a lot of experience and knowledge, we may not hear the warning voice of God or not pay attention when the Lord warns us. This is why the Bible calls us to humility, Therefore, we see the example of Moses, who was humble in the spirit and open to correction, to the advice of other people. We need Jethro, people through whom the Lord himself can speak into our lives. We need Jethro in our lives. And we need humility to be able to hear the voice of God through the people he sends to us during our success or in the difficulties of our lives. And sometimes these are completely unexpected people whom we don't expect to hear from. I want to read a couple places of scripture. One of them, it's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 24, verse 5 and 6. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge becomes even stronger. And verse 6, how is the answer? For with wise advice you wage war, and in many counselors there is victory. Also, I would like to bring example from the New Testament. It's a very interesting place of scripture in a book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 6 and 7. The emissaries and elders were gathered together to examine this issue. After much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God chose from among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the message of the good news and believe." Even though the Lord chose Peter, we can see that early Messianic believers made a collective decision with a multitude of counsel. They were open to the voice of the Lord through the scriptures, in the Holy Spirit, and also through the wisdom of brothers and sisters. And because of their ability to hear the voice of God, because of their readiness to obey Him, because of their humility and teamwork, today we have so many people from all the nations of the earth who are together with the Jewish believers, are part of the body of Messiah. I would like to conclude with the words from today's Torah chapter. It is in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. It is very important and interesting place of scripture. "Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine." In order to obey and keep the covenant, it is necessary to hear and understand the words of God. It is very important for us to be careful, to hear and understand. Therefore, it is important to take seriously what God says, what the Bible teaches us, and to do our part to prepare ourselves for hearing. That's why Yeshua so often speaks in the scriptures. In the Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." I urge you to listen. Ask the Lord to speak to you in your heart, to direct, to correct, to teach you. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close with Aaron blessing, Aaronic benediction, as we normally do at Beth Israel. And then we will return to Brian and Deanne's home for a final worship song. So let's pray together. Let's stay together in prayer. Yivrechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yaseh lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.